this one. Okay. Well, good morning. It's a privilege to have the chance to do this. Right, the reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Father, may you open our eyes to the amazing truth that is in the Lord Jesus. May we be moved and encouraged today. In Jesus' name, amen. We start today a journey through 2 Timothy, and this book is the last book that Paul writes before his death. It is a book of great personal work as he hands over the baton of what he has been doing to Timothy, who is to be the one who carries the work forward. Paul is aged, languishing in a dark, dank prison in Rome, from which he knows the only way out is death. But this letter is full of joy and full of such an expression of what God is all about that a bishop wrote that he read this letter and found it hard to read it without something like a mist gathering in his eyes. It's a very human book. And as we journey through it, and if you're here visiting, you're going to get part one, but you're welcome to come back for all the other parts over the next few weeks. As we today look at the first part, we'll see just how much Paul has confidence in God and all he does, despite the fact that he's in such a difficult place. He's enjoying the comparative freedom of his own home. He's now in chains. He's lonely and bored. And you might think, this ain't going to be much good for a baptism, but it is, I can assure you, that as we go through, we'll see what an amazing thing it is. We'll see how Jesus brings us such hope and how the promises of God are so trustworthy. So come with me on this voyage of discovery as we work through Paul's last word to the Christian church that by God's grace he had helped to plant and establish. And the first thing we see is the confidence of Paul. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. These verses speak of Paul's confidence despite the situation he finds himself in. He is confident. Why? Well, confident first because of the call of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. In the New Testament, the word apostle is used of those who were with Jesus as he went around for the 3 years, Peter, James, John, all that crowd. It's used of those, and they have a special calling to begin to see what all God is about and then to communicate that after Jesus has ascended. And Paul joined that group when he met with Jesus on the Damascus Road. That is such an amazing story that actually we have in our own language now that a Damascus Road experience. And Paul knows the call of God on his life. That's what we want for Rosamond, that she would know the call of God on her life. That's what we want for each other, that we would know the call of God on our lives. Now, Paul and the apostles are called uniquely to be the foundation of the church. They write with an authority that is unique. They have a right to teach gospel truth. That's why here almost 2,000 years later, we're still looking at what Paul wrote. Paul knows his calling, and it gives him confidence. And it should give us confidence too in what is written. The Bible is what the Christian faith stands and falls on. And the Bible is true and right. Why? Because God called people to write it and oversaw that writing. You and I can be confident in what is written there. I was talking to a Christian recently who said to me, very honestly, do you know there are some times the Bible disagrees with what I think? And I said, that's fine. Let me just tell you one thing. It's right, you're wrong. It's very simple. That sense that we can trust what the scriptures say. And as Rosamond grows up, we pray that she will come to meet the God of the Bible, the one we can trust in. Because it's not just the call of God that gives Paul confidence, it's also the promises of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. Paul knows that it is because of the promise of life that he has hope. Remember, he's in the midst of thinking that he's not going to be around much longer. He sees death as his next step. But in the midst of that, he goes, I know the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. That's what baptism reflects. Baptism reflects that we believe that in Jesus there is a promise of life. Life that is not just life in the world to come, but a better quality of life now. That's why verse 2 says to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul expects that Christians will experience grace, mercy, and peace in the here and now. Grace, that's God's kindness given to the undeserving. Mercy, God's love shown to the weak and helpless who cannot help themselves. Peace, that restoration of harmony between God and us. Paul's confident in the promise of life. And if that wasn't true, then there would be no point baptizing Rosamond. The whole point about the Christian faith is this promise of life. Life that is better in the here and now. Life that has an eternal future of being with the Lord Jesus. Paul reminds us that the good news of Jesus is that he promises life, life full of grace and mercy and peace. And I don't know what the world's throwing you at the moment. I hope it's not as bad as it was for Paul at this point in his life. But I do know that whether life is a joy or whether life is a struggle, God wants you to experience grace, mercy, and peace as you trust in him. We see here Paul's confidence in all that God has promised. And he wants us to have that confidence too. I read in a newspaper recently these words. I can handle the concept of life after death. It's life before death that's really got me snookered. And I think there's a sense that we feel that sometimes. But God says, come on, I want to be part of your life. I want to offer you grace and mercy and peace. But if Paul starts with the confidence in God and his promises, he continues to be confident that God's work will continue. Verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Paul says he serves God with a clear conscience. He says that actually he is following on his ancestors, and by those he means the people who believed in God in the Old Testament, people like Moses and David and Abraham, who we've looked at recently. And what he's saying is, look, the good news of Jesus, the good news of God, has been true throughout the generations, and we're just the next generation who has that good news, who has that promise of life. And he says, don't ever doubt that God will continue to offer that gift of life. Now, I've been privileged in the last few weeks to see some people come to understand Jesus and his way for the first time and to move into that promise of life. And it's just a delight to see the change in them, to see God still doing what God does, helping people to serve him, to understand all that he has, and then to respond because of all that God has done by giving their lives to him. And Paul wants us to be confident that God's word does not stop. And we see that in Timothy's background. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Paul knows that Timothy has this experience that three generations of his family have been believers. His grandmother was a believer, his mother was a believer, and now Timothy has become a believer. This is a pretty appropriate thing, isn't it, for a baptism? The idea that we can be thankful that God works in our families. For three generations, this family was marked by sincere faith. John Calvin, who was one of the authors of the Reformation, put it like this. He had a way with words. Timothy was reared in such a way that he could suck in godliness along with his mother's milk. Isn't that brilliant? Is that what we want for Rosamond? Isn't that what we want in our families? And it may be that we are privileged to have been in a family where for generations there has been faith. Or it may be for some of us that we pray that our generation will be the first of three. That our family will start that sense of handing down the faith through the generations. Now each generation has to make its own decision. That's why it says, and I am persuaded now lives in you also, Timothy. Timothy hasn't just seen the faith of his grandmother and mother. He's come to faith himself. One of my friends, who's a vicar in London, said, God has no grandchildren. That's right. We have to make our own decision, our own faith decision. But God is a God who continues to transform lives. He's done that throughout the generations. He's done it in the lives of many families. God is a God who continues to work, continues to offer us the promise of life. Today, are you confident? Are you confident in the promises of God? Are you confident that God continues his gospel work? And finally, will you play your part? Verse 6, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Paul in verse 6 is referring to a particular incident in Timothy's life. Now the problem is we don't know exactly what that incident was. We know that they had laid hands on Timothy and that he was given a specific gift. We don't know what that gift was. We could speculate that it was about leadership or about the ability to be an evangelist, but we don't actually know. But what we do know is that although Timothy was given this specific gift and God gifts his people, We know, verse 7, for the Spirit God gave us, this is an offer to all who believe in Jesus, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. We are given, as Christians, the Spirit of God inside us. Why? So that we will be bold in living for Jesus, bold in speaking about him, bold in sharing all that we know. I don't know about you, but if I have good news, I want to tell people. I hope you'll go away going, it was a brilliant baptism. That was great. I hope you want to tell everyone who's not here. We want to share good news, don't we? But the best news we have is of a God who wants to be involved in our lives, of a God who transforms us because of what Jesus did. God gives us his Spirit so that we won't be timid. 6 times in this book, Timothy is encouraged to be bold. To be bold, not in his own strength, but because of the Spirit's work. The Spirit gives us power. Power to overcome the many obstacles that are in the way of us sharing about Jesus. He gives us love. Love for all folks, whether in or outside the church. We quite like those two, don't we? The third one, self-discipline, not quite so sure about that one. But the Spirit gives us discipline so that we can be the people God wants us to be. The great news is that God, in his goodness, didn't leave us on our own to speak of Jesus. He gives us power and love and self-discipline by his Spirit. Yesterday we had a meeting of the leaders of the church, the PCC, the ministry overseers, and the staff. Thank you for those who prayed for it. And one of the most amazing things was at the end, we'd been sort of a bit all over the place during the morning, but at the end there were 5 groups, and 4 of the groups came to exactly the same conclusion. And it was like, okay, God. And he was encouraging us to be bold as a church family, bold in speaking of Jesus, bold in equipping people to do that. But we'll only be bold because of God's Spirit at work in us. As he starts his last letter, wants us, like Timothy, to recognize all we have in the Lord Jesus, the promise of life, that God continues to offer life to all who turn to him, and that you and I have a part to play. The Spirit God gave us doesn't make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. May we as individuals, if we trust in the Lord Jesus this morning, may we know that we have such good news to share, that as individuals and as a church family, wherever we worship, we would see God transform lives, transform our lives, so that we are bold in sharing all that Jesus offers. Let's pray together. Our Lord God, we thank you and praise you that in Jesus we have good news to share. Forgive us for the times that we are timid. May we know the work of your Spirit, that we will be bold, full of power and love and self-discipline. And we pray that as individuals and as a church family, we would see you transform lives in new and fresh ways. In Jesus' name, amen.